Welcome to Mr. Biz Radio, biz talk for biz owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio with me, Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth. And this week, we're going to talk about something I know is pertinent for many folks in the audience, and that is utilizing LinkedIn to its fullest extent. We've done a show for many, many years now, and we had some people on years ago talking about LinkedIn, and I'm like, man, we were literally brainstorming, like, what are some subjects we haven't covered on the show for a while that's, you know, going to be pertinent to our audience? And it's like, man, we haven't talked about LinkedIn in so long, and it's such an integral tool, especially for most of the folks who watch and listen to the show. So we went out and we went fishing. We cast a few lines. We're like, hey, let's get a LinkedIn expert. And none other than Mr. Thomas Helfrich is joining us today. He's an entrepreneur and a leading expert in business, marketing, and executive coaching. He's the founder and CEO of InstantlyRelevant.com. He's the author of Never Been Promoted and hosts the Never Been Promoted podcast. And he's recognized as a top voice by LinkedIn. Thomas, welcome to Mr. Biz Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll tell you, you're popped up. You know, we did some research. I said, find me a LinkedIn guru. And you popped up. We did a little bit of background research on you. It's like, yeah, let's have this guy on. I know you have a wealth of knowledge to share. And so I want to get into that. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your sort of your overall career, your entrepreneurial journey, and what's led you to what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me on. This is it's an honor to be here and to talk about this, because LinkedIn is a powerful tool for a lot of owners, and it's something I use in our business. But background, it kind of born out of the dot-com time, you know, found quickly I was better at talking about technology than I was coding it. So just took that kind of consultative path where, the big players, KPMGs, Accentures of the world, that led me, you know, through a career of taking different jobs, but never being promoted ever. And so that ends up with you becoming an entrepreneur. For those of us who've never been promoted, that's what happens. And so my expertise,
you promoted yourself, Thomas. You promoted yourself,
right? Well, exactly. I still don't count it, you know. But it's but through those years, right? You develop some kind of consulting skills. Mine was really around intelligent automation and AI systems. So I've done some pretty large implementations and strategy works for, you know, Fortune 50 type companies. But I took some of those principles of how to leverage these cool technologies like AI and intelligent automation and apply them to marketing and sales functions and other things. And so that's how Instantly Relevant got born, was filling a need. I was, you know, building a practice for this company for AI intelligent automation, and marketing sales couldn't produce leads. They couldn't get me meetings. And it's kind of hard to build a practice when you can't talk to anyone. So I just solved it. And I did it well enough where I decided to offer it as a service. And, you know, now I'm an entrepreneur. That's how that happened.
So what were some of the things that would you say that kind of led you kind of to branch out on your own and become an entrepreneur? I mean, were there some telltale signs, or like, man, I'm just fed up with the corporate world, or, you know, what kind of led you down that path, you think?
Right. Well, I mean, for sure, it's been in me my entire career of never wanting to chase someone else's dream, never being in a financial position or a position in my life to feel like I could take the risk. And, you know, and I've had a great career. Listen, you know, I may have never been promoted, but I became, you know, this chief innovation officer of a $1 billion services company, right? So it wasn't like I wasn't advancing, but there certainly wasn't real happiness in it. And even when you're making, you know, say over $500,000 a year, it's great money, but you're not going to get wealthy or rich from it. It's still on someone else's terms. And I think that job exiting, you know, perfect kind of, you know, like 18 months of, you know, perfect bonuses, no issues. And two weeks later, they're like, hey, we're going to make a change, you're out. You're like, what? And it just kind of hits you, you know, in your early 40s, you're like, you know, this is just nonsense. You know, working for companies is not secure. And the older you get, the harder it's going to be. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take that leap. And you kind of fumble through it for a year or so to figure out what you're going to do. But once you know it's there, you're in it. You're working for yourself.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Tom. So have you always had sort of the entrepreneur itch? Like, have you always kind of wanted to do your own thing, but you were kind of, you know, I don't say stuck, but you're stuck in the corporate world?
Yeah, absolutely. So after that kind of dot-com boom, you know, you get a, I had my own company back then around mortgages and, you know, credit and some other things I helped people with. And definitely was just a new job. I was working for myself, but it wasn't really an entrepreneurial play with scale. So it's always been there. But you got to mix sometimes between, you know, how do you pay your bills and your wants, your needs versus what drives you further. And it's not usually until later in life, I find, at least a lot of the entrepreneurs that I meet in their 40s and 50s, where they have kids and stuff, and they just realize that they want to be done with it. So it's always been there for sure. I wish it would have broken out of its cocoon way earlier, but you know, life is life.
Yeah, well, I can relate. So I worked in for a Fortune 15 company into my early 40s. Sounds similar to what you did. And I'd always want to do my own thing, even all the way back. I always want to do my own thing. And then thankfully my career sort of accelerated and I got to a level. It's like, you know, and I was, you know, in my 20s, I didn't have like a, you know, savings or anything like that to fall back on to, you know, have some financial backing to help me get launched and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, well, and my career took off. I did, you know, thankfully I did really well, but then it was like, well, geez, you know, you're making a lot of money. And so how do you replace that and how do you do it? So I kind of waited. And so I finally, you know, it sounds like you went through a similar path and probably around a similar age, it sounds like, that I was when I was like, okay, I'm just going to take the leap. And I didn't even know what the heck I was going to do. Did you always kind of know you wanted to kind of do what you're doing now?
Oh no, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I've been in consulting technology, you know, focused. I just saw the need. So that's part of it. You see yourself solving a problem and you see it everywhere. And then, you know, you see what people spend in marketing or sales budgets a year and they don't produce anything. You're like, there's got to be a better way. And what I found was, because my expertise being in this kind of intelligent automation AI, is there are lots of people doing a lot of repetitive things very poorly. That's a use case for using technology to replace people, accelerate, which means as a solopreneur entrepreneur, when the idea is like a lot of the stuff comes from LinkedIn or it comes from other social media, a lot of the leads that you meet come from things available to anyone. You can automate lots of parts and maybe not the outreach, which we'll get into that. Maybe I wouldn't recommend, but you can do a lot of things without needing this big corporate structure. And when I solved that, I was like, ah, I can go on my own and go do this and then go turn around and sell it as a service.
So when you broke out on your own, did you kind of use your skill set to build your business and then say, wait, I can help other people do the same thing? Is that kind of the evolution?
Yeah. I basically built my business while working for another company for 18 months. So I did what I call the angel investor funding model, but they don't have any equity. So you just basically work for a company and in your spare time or your downtime, you're just doing your own stuff. And I recommend that to lots of people. I'm sure that's not super popular amongst the corporate world, but the truth is they're going to leave anyway. You might as well, you might as well accept it. I don't know what to say about that, except start it while you're working for somebody else. It's easier.
Yeah. So we're almost up against a break here, but just what have you noticed? What's the biggest thing you've noticed, Thomas, as you went from the corporate world to now being Mr. Full-on Entrepreneur? What's the biggest change you've had?
Yeah, there's no excuses or fallback. So you don't really make that move to entrepreneurship until there's no fallback or safety net. You could be working your absolute tail off, you know, to do this, but while you're still working for somebody and there's a paycheck coming in that's not something you've created, you're not there yet. You haven't taken the full leap. And so what I've seen change is my level of focus, my level of accountability to myself and my family, and the amount of fun I've had. I don't feel like in the last 3 or so plus years, I've worked. I've just been executing every day and having a great time doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I can relate to that for sure. We're going to hit a break here, guys. We're going to come back, continue talking with Thomas Helfrich. We're going to talk about how he helps with his company and some of the things he does and Instantly Relevant and things like that. Come back after the break on Mr. Biz Radio.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20 plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100 plus streaming platforms, and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel, and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Got a question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back. So it's time for the Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. And this week's tip, got to be honest with you, it's going to sound a little harsh. Sometimes you got to get real, though. And this week's tip is you cannot fire bad employees fast enough. I said it, and it's true. When you keep people around that are just bad employees, they absolutely will crush the overall performance of your team, of your company, depending, especially if you're in a small company, you got, I don't know, five employees and you got one. I mean, you got 20% of your staff that's, you know, just a cancer, right? They're going to erode morale. Performance is going to go down. They start to bring people down with them. You cannot get rid of bad employees fast enough. I mean, I cannot emphasize that enough. I saw it in the corporate world. I've seen it now working with companies as I do. It's just the killing overall performance of those types of people. You gotta get them out of there. And honestly, you're probably doing them a favor, right? They're obviously, if they're unhappy and they're doing all these type of sabotage type things, they're not where they need to be, right? They're probably not happy at all. You got to get them to where they, sometimes they need a little nudge to get them where they are. Get them out. You got to get them out. They're kill overall morale. So that's Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. Getting back into talking, Mr. Thomas Helfrich here. So Thomas, tell us a little bit about how you help folks with Instantly Relevant. I know that's something that people are, you know, everyone's trying to figure this out, especially people who are, you know, being thrust into entrepreneurship and or not, maybe not even being thrust into it, but with all the changes we've had in the workplace situations of people leaving their jobs and kind of branching out and doing things on their own. Tell us a little bit about how you do that, help folks with Instantly Relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. So Instantly Relevant, we're a marketing agency. One thing, we're a very focused agency though. So, you know, we have a system that we use, we've built just through actually doing it and building for LinkedIn. I don't think like a technology system, think more of like a methodology or a framework. So what we help people understand is how to leverage LinkedIn correctly without doing kind of brand wrecking spam. So if you're, you know, for example, if you're automating all your initial outreach, just stop. You're just going to lose long term with that. Even in the short term, it is a poor way to do it. But there are ways you can leverage, you know, all the way from, you know, there's about 9 steps you need to do. We can talk about maybe briefly, but we help people follow a system to generate leads, to generate brand awareness, become thought leaders, you know, increase their visibility and just raise their overall executive eminence on LinkedIn.
Well, it's interesting you say that because over the years since I left the corporate world, I ended up hiring a couple of different, you know, agencies that work on LinkedIn and outreach and things like that. And I've been able to build my LinkedIn, you know, my presence on LinkedIn a decent amount over those years. But, you know, it's just the automated messages and, you know, it ends up being spam. And, you know, I'm sure you receive a bunch as well. I mean, every stinking day I get these messages on LinkedIn and it's like, and for me, it's real easy to tell when it's automated because on LinkedIn, my name is Mr. Biz, AKA Ken Wentworth. So the automation shows up and it'll say, hey, Mr. period, comma, you know, it won't even have the rest of my name because it thinks Mr. is my first name. So I can tell right away that it's, you know, it's an automated message. And then even if you couldn't tell by the greeting, typically you can tell by, you know, the message, how canned the message is or whatever. How did you figure out how to sort of maybe make that not be that way, right? Not just be blowing out spam to people and annoying the crap out of people.
Yeah, well, as a backdrop, right, you know, for you talk about getting rid of bad employees, get rid of bad marketing companies even faster because there's no right employee-employee relationship. Because if you're doing anything that wrecks your brand, unless you're trying to not have a long-term business, then quit it immediately. And the way we figured it out was this. We tried everything possible in the first year. And I mean like share pods, engagement pods, SM models, buying followers, advertisements, just messaging, like everything you can think of that's out there, we've tried. And I was like, well, let's see what actually works. So we got, you know, I think we got up to 180,000 followers or something like that. But like, it was mostly bots and other crap because, you know, people make promises to see it. None of it works. And so when LinkedIn, thank God, we asked them to like, you know, remove all these dummy accounts and they finally did it as a whole system. And it really improved a lot of things. But we just tried everything. And what we came back to is what exactly LinkedIn does. So keep in mind, I understand the algorithms of LinkedIn from that kind of, you know, the programming AI perspective of how they should work. And it's what people want to do on it and what the algorithm wants from you. So the algorithm wants engagement. It wants good content. people want to be seen. People want attention and vanity. And so when you combine those two things together and put a system around it, meaning like comment on the people that you specifically know you can help and be sincere with it. Actually network and be authentic in how you interact. Take a few moments to get to know somebody and build a relationship. That's what LinkedIn is. That's why it's so powerful. So if you're skipping any of those initial steps, you will become less relevant. The ability for you to accelerate know, like, trust diminishes. And, you know, and why people, a lot of people struggle is they do automation. And when they do automation and you, let's say 10,000 people you've automated against over the last 2 years, well, 9,900 of them have think of you as spam. And at some point you run out and you're stuck and you're screwed basically. So the way you do it is just through authentic behaviors that can be accelerated by AI and some other things, but not just abused by it.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because, I mean, like I mentioned, you can always tell, well, typically, especially me with, like I said, the way my name is on LinkedIn, I can always tell because it would always say Mr. period comma instead of, you know, my full name or whatever. I could tell it's just completely automated. And I think, you know, we've gone from this, you know, we've become such a society of instant gratification. Everything's got to be super fast. And so I think we've, in some instances, automated. We've gone too far with the automation, right? There's no authenticity in a lot of the interactions you have with folks. And people start to see that and they get sick of it. I know I get sick of it. I get messages every day in my LinkedIn inbox that they can tell clearly is just an automated message that someone sent out, you know, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 of these dang messages. And it's like, they don't even know me. They're just looking, they're out fishing. They're casting this wide net to see what they can get. You know, how have you guys figured out how to sort of work around some of those things? Obviously you want to have some automation, right? You don't want to do everything manually, but what's the happy medium and the balance between those two things, Thomas?
Yeah, you can use automation, but I would do it against your first level network for very specific things. So meaning inviting to an event, maybe liking a contribution, something small, but don't overrun it. The way we do it is this. So to put this in perspective, and you'll have to, this is the hook. You'll have to contact me, learn how I do this, but I'm only on LinkedIn about an hour a week. But yet I do about 7,200 interactions, comments and interactions with ideal customer profiles each month. And so I'm just doing sales calls all week. Now, the trick to that, what you'd ask was, how do you do it? Well, you start with a very small sales navigator list, like a persona of one, where it might be like, you know, marketing professionals in the radio, entertainment, digital business that live in the United States that are male. And like you get this list down to a few hundred. And then when I go interact with them, you know, on my profile, it's really specific. And my profile's also been set up to be very ideal. So when you come, you know, when you came and checked out my profile, you knew I knew everything you could probably find about LinkedIn. And that's intentional. And that's exactly who I want to go meet, or people who are seeking someone who knows LinkedIn. So you set up the things of your profile, the content you create, and who you interact with and how you interact with them. I don't need a ton of interactions. I just need to have very good ones. And that way people, you're now risen above the noise and like, now they may not need what we need, but they know when they need it, they're going to come to me.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? You're sort of sowing the seeds of your expertise. Mm-hmm. And if people are on LinkedIn and they're on enough, at some point, they're probably going to need what you can provide, right? Your help and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, it goes beyond LinkedIn, right? We really focus on three main things, right? LinkedIn, YouTube, and high-end video. So like cinematic, like Hollywood film tomb. And the reason is that brought together is what's going to make social media work better for you, in particular LinkedIn.
Gotcha. All right, guys, we're talking with Mr. Thomas Helfrich this week. We're going to go ahead and hit a break here. We're going to come back and find out a little bit more about how to use LinkedIn to drive sales.
How would you like to have direct access to Mr. Biz to help you run your business more profitably and more efficiently? At MrBizSolutions.com, you get live access to not only Mr. Biz, but also several of his hand-picked and trusted business experts, each with 20-plus years of experience to help you optimally manage and grow your business. That's just the start of where Mr. Biz Solutions begins. Learn more at MrBizSolutions.com. That's MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to pick Mr. Helfrich's brain a little bit here. Before we do, I want to let you guys know, and we'll put this in the show notes as well. You can find out more on his website, instantlyrelevant.com or neverbeenpromoted.com. He's all over social media, as you would expect, as you need to be. And we talk about all the time. Of course, he's on LinkedIn, Thomas Helfrich. But also, you can find out, let me see here, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, got to be on TikTok nowadays, on X, formerly known as Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, via Never Been Promoted, all those different channels. And again, on the website, and we'll put all that stuff in the show notes as well, so you can easily connect with Thomas and have him help you out. But Thomas, what are some ways that, and I know we've only got, 8 minutes here, but you could probably talk about this for days, but what are some ways that people, some practical things that people can do now that they should be doing to help use LinkedIn to promote sales on their side, and doing it in not the, you know, freaking cheesy way, like I was mentioning before. I just get blasted. I'm sure you too, you do as well, with all these, you know, spam messages left and right. And it's just such a turnoff. How do you kind of stay above that fray?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you could do, but I'll just give you the core, the first three core things you need to do. First and foremost, you really need to understand who you want to connect with and why, at a kind of a persona of one. And what I mean by that is really have a good funnel and understanding of, I need to connect with, you know, these types of individuals for these reasons, and understand the why. And so just leave that there. And so not it's like, hey, I want to connect with all marketers in the United States. No, like get specific, try to get as many, you know, tactical advantages as you can, like same city, same industry, like just really get it narrow. So think Save Navigator search in a very defined search and sales navigator, if that would be the way to do it. The second piece is the content you create. I don't think you really do need to create like a post a day. It's great if you can. It's really hard to keep up with. And then you'll likely need a team or somebody else to kind of help you produce it. So if you're just kind of, you know, saying, what do I really need to do? Just try to do two or three really solid pieces of content a week, and you can mix it with video or podcast or you know, visual or some sort. But most importantly, write that content while you're speaking, like with somebody and not at them, and make sure that that content is specifically relevant for that persona of one, that one who we did that list, and just write to that small audience. So you're not trying for vanity metrics. You're trying to get that group to look at your content, understand what you do for them, understand why they should follow you or subscribe to whatever you have. But that content should resonate to that persona of one and really no one else. Finally, the third piece is set up your profile. So this is, people call this LinkedIn profile optimization. I hear that. I'm always like, you know, but optimize to what? To get a job? So set up your profile with the ideas of altruism. And the altruism being like the first thing people see should explain why they should click on your profile. The second thing they'll see is this banner, the long image behind your head. That's going to explain what it is you do for them. And then finally, the rest of your headline should explain why they should take any calls to action. And if you take that idea that the first thing they're going to see is your image and that like seven words, your headline, what in those things should you be communicating to make them want to click on that? Mine says something like, serious about growing your business with LinkedIn. Let's chat. People see that on mobile. If I make a comment and they're like, yeah, I am kind of serious and I kind of need help. What's this guy do? They come in, they land. My big banner usually will say something like, unleash your entrepreneur, or revenue, relevance ignites revenue. It doesn't say my name. It doesn't say my company name. It doesn't have my phone number up there. It just tells me big letters, headline, what it is I do for you. And then finally, the story that comes after it, something like, hey, I help entrepreneurs with smart marketing systems, you know, in a way that's not brand wrecking spam. That's like, that tells you the villain. It tells you the brand wrecking spans, the villain. It tells you what I do for you. And then if you need that help, you need that service, click it. Now mine's bent a little bit right now because I have this channel called Never Been Promoted, because it's, you know, about the entrepreneurial journey, and the YouTube channel that's gone from zero to a million subscribers in a month. Well, probably a different radio show for you on that one. But we've rapidly grown, and it was an actual design business model to make it happen. But anyway, but mine's a little different, so I'm not quite describing perfectly what you should do, because we're in a brand phase. But the point is those three things: know who it is you want to connect with, make sure the content you write is only relevant to them, and thirdly, make sure your profile is about helping them, what you do for them, not about you at all.
So interesting. So what's the number one thing, and I'm sure you can name about 10 of them, but what's the number one thing, the mistake you see people make, Thomas, on LinkedIn?
It's very egocentric. It's about me, what I do, it's me TV, right? It's too egocentric and not about talking with people or talking about what you've done for them or what you can do for them in a non-salesy way. It's me.
Yeah. I definitely see a lot of that. And I think it's interesting. I think people, at least even from talking with, some colleagues and some folks about LinkedIn, I think not everyone, obviously not people like yourself, but I think a lot of people don't understand what's the best way to use LinkedIn, right? Because I think some people think, you know, this is my chance to shine. This is almost like an online resume of sorts. I think some people use it that way to like puff things up and make themselves look maybe a little better than they really are. And that kind of stuff, I think, turns people off in the long run, right? You might attract people, but in my opinion, you're going to attract the wrong people.
Well, agreed. And so that is still a problem of egoism, of overinflating, me. And there is a bit of resume building. But your profile on LinkedIn is a professional profile that's supposed to have a purpose. And your purpose might be to sell you one time to one thing, which is getting a job. That's mm-hmm. totally fine. And that's but from the entrepreneur standpoint, you got to understand that people aren't on there to buy anything. People aren't right. on there to, they're on there to get a job, find a job, or sell, or sell something. No one's on there to buy. They go to Google for that. So if you're using it as a way to find leads, the way people misuse it is they treat it as if it was a Google ad and people they want to get this kind of information. Go there because people are there to network, to build a network. They're there to learn about people. And if they happen to use, or not happen, if they need the services and the things you provide and they get to know and like you a little bit, they're more likely to buy it from you. But if you're there treating it's an ad platform and it's a free-for-all, then you're going to get nowhere because that's not why people are there.
Yeah, so that leads me into, and maybe you kind of already answered this, but what is the number one mistake you see people make on LinkedIn?
Oh, it's treating it like with just utter disrespect for the people that are there to network. They're being too salesy, too promotional, and they're not actually trying to network and get to know that person, their business, even just a little bit. It's all me. It's not like, hey, let me hear about you. Tell me about what you're doing. It's not giving the actual attention to where people want it, which is to explain what they are and who they are and get to know you a little bit. So they're just being too centric, egocentric, and selfish with it.
So I have to ask Thomas, what do you do when you get messages like that? Do you just ignore them or do you? So I'm curious because it drives me insane.
No, so first and foremost, if you don't want to interact with certain types, do not connect with anyone that's doing that. If it's clearly not a real person, like the CEO of L'Oreal from China, that you probably get four or five of those a day, just report them all and they'll stop seeing them. You'll stop seeing less of them. If you get lots of spam stuff, completely ignore it. If it's an in-mail, then decline it. Just do everything you can not to interact with it. Don't troll it and don't come back because the algorithm may take that as, hey, that's a positive indicator and it'll send you more of that stuff. The advice to you is ignore as much as you can and follow, use the bell to actually follow the people you like, somewhat like their content. They seem real, legit, and you can learn from. But there's a lot of noise. Don't leave the platform because of it, because LinkedIn is trying to do their best for it. But there's a bunch of just crap out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think even just before I left the corporate world, when I was in the corporate world, I didn't even have a LinkedIn account because I'm like, my LinkedIn is, my company. I was only interested in that. So I was new to it when I left the corporate world and kind of struck out on the entrepreneurial side of things. Guys, we've been talking with Mr. Thomas Helfrich this week. You can find out more at instantlyrelevant.com. And again, we'll put all of his social media profiles and things like that in the show notes. Thomas, thanks so much for coming on Mr. Biz Radio. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This has been a great talk. Anything I can do to help your users learn about LinkedIn, I'm happy to help.
I appreciate that. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget, as always, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100-plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.